I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he saith, 100 measures of wheat. And he saith unto him, Take thy deal, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you unto everlasting habitations. He is faithful in that which is least, is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is also unjust in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we thank you, we bless you, we exalt you, we reverence you this evening. We pray that you will unleash the mysteries of your word to us. Let grace abound to us. Let faith rise up in our hearts. And let victory come to your people in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have your seats. On Sunday, we looked at the 8th commandment, Thou shalt not steal. And we said it was the essence of contentment. Amen. Say with me, contentment. The Apostle Paul admonished Timothy, godliness with contentment is great gain. Hey, Marsh, please take over and put that thing on the slide on the screen. Please take over. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. In the story that Jesus told about the unjust steward, is in a season of reckoning. He's about to lose his job because the master has heard a lot of rumors that your employee, the manager of your estate, is living large. He's wasting your goods. So the master calls this unjust steward and said, Render unto me an account of your stewardship. Now, the unjust steward, we said, he was at the place where we call riches, the place of skill. He was a manager. He was at a place of a professional. The place of a professional. We said that there are four things to contentment. He said, to beg, I am ashamed. That's the first stage of stewardship and contentment. I cannot dig. That is the second stage of phase of stewardship. Digging. And I have just changed some of the words a little bit. They mean the same, but I wanted to use one word. Instead of two words, hard work for diligence, I picked diligence instead. And then, he is at the stage of riches. Like I said, he is a professional. But he's about to lose his job. He's going to be demoted. So he thinks very quickly of how he can redeem himself. How to redeem himself. Now, we established very clearly that the stage of begging is the state of dependency. Say with me, dependency. Amen. There are some things that we will be in dependency for the rest of our lives. The air we breathe in. And if you miss that lesson, that you need to be appreciative of some things in life and express gratitude to God by giving back. Hallelujah. You know, King David, all through the book of the Psalms, you will notice that he is a praiser. The Bible says praise is the fruit of the lips. It's a sacrifice. Praise is a sacrifice. Hallelujah. Praise is a sacrifice. Not everybody praises God. It is very interesting when people are on their sick bed. That's when they begin to look for an opportunity to praise God. When the time of reckoning hits them on that sick bed. And they see that they're about to be judged. Exit to this world. They see death face to face. And the sense of judgment becomes real to them. And then they start looking for an opportunity to praise God. And sometimes you go to the hospital and literally it's too late. It's too late. You can't talk to them. You might be in a coma or something. So that foundation, that's the first level, the first stage of life. And when you conquer that realm, you always uphold that dimension dear to your heart. Doesn't matter how much God lifts you up, you're still humble to give him the praise and the glory and to acknowledge him. Amen. But it's the fundamental stage of our stewardship to be able to give God thanks. Now, the second phase is digging. Today I would take you to another level to understand digging. The phase of digging is the phase of diligence or persistent hard work. Say with me, diligence means persistent hard work. Persistent hard work. All your life, you will have to maintain that virtue of diligence. Diligence of digging through the bloodline. Diligence of digging through the bloodline. From Adam, the first man, up to you. From Adam through Jesus to you. Are you listening to me? It is important that as a believer, you understand the story of your bloodline. You must understand the what? The story of your bloodline. From Adam to Christ
And then to us. Why did Adam fail? Why was Cain rejected? Why was Enoch translated? Why was Noah and his family saved? Why did God choose Abraham out of Ishmael and Isaac? Why did God choose Isaac? Why did God choose Jacob out of the twins, Esau and Jacob? Why did God choose Joseph? Why did God pick Moses? Why did God pick Joshua? Why was Caleb chosen? Why was David picked? And why was his lineage through Solomon to Jesus Christ? And now from Jesus . How does grace work for us? The reason why you have to dig is because you need to understand, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we have become a part of the common wealth of Israel. We've become a part of the commonwealth of Israel. The Bible says that Jesus became our curse. He took upon himself our curses. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. The Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith. We are saved by grace through faith. Now, grace has provided us a lot of things. Because we have become a part of the commonwealth. Say with me, commonwealth. Grace has provided for us a lot of things. Things that we must use our faith to release. Grace has released for us healing, forgiveness, blessings. The scripture says that by his stripes we're healed. So we're healed from infirmities, forgiveness from sins, iniquities, transgressions, blessings from curses. Jesus became poor that we might become rich. So we release from poverty. He died that we may have life. He is the resurrection and the life. These are redemptive blessings. Blessings of the bloodline of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as a believer, the second stage of your stewardship is to understand what God has freely given to you. He has given you healing. You must understand how to receive the healing of the cross into your body. You must understand how to release forgiveness of sins, a cleansing of your bloodline. You must understand how to release yourself from curses, from bondage, from yokes, because Jesus paid the price. You must learn to release yourself from poverty so that you can experience the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. You must learn how to live the life that Christ gave us, the Zoe life of God, for we are passed on from death unto life. That involves digging. Because by the blood of Jesus, you have access into this commonwealth. It means every believer has access. Every believer. It's not only for burial, not only for marshalling. It is for everybody. But do you know that in life, there are a lot of people who cannot help themselves? They are stuck in this stage of burden. If you're sick with an infirmity that the doctors cannot cure, you will live a dependent life. There are some people who have issues that make them incapable of having a sound mind. And so they live a life of dependency. So when God gives you the opportunity to move up into the realm of diligence, you don't remain in the realm of begging. You have to move. You have to move. And when the devil comes and sticks himself to you like a leech and says, "No, I'm going to deny you from moving up," you have to leverage the blessings of the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to leverage the victory of the cross. It is yours. Listen, there are some people who are stuck with an infirmity, with a challenge, sometimes for years before they meet somebody who says, "You are released." And they could have released themselves from the day that the enemy attacked them. Say with me, digging. Digging. Digging the blood. It is the time of life where your two hands, your two feet, your mind must be employed just because you are a human being. Just because you are a human being. Just because you are a human being, you can sell time at Home Depot. You know, you go to Home Depot, there are some guys who hang around outside, and they don't have a fixed income, but they go home with a paycheck. Because they have energy. Because they have strength. Because they sell their time. Are you listening to me? It is a blessing to be able to sell your time. To sell your strength. It doesn't have to be skill. You don't go out there looking for very skillful people. No, no, no. You look for helpers. Amen. You don't go looking for people to build your house. No. You look for helpers. People who will sell their time, their energy, their strength. They don't have to be skillful. But during that phase of life, when you are digging to understand how faith works. Oh, faith is free of charge. Faith is for everyone. You don't need any education to leverage faith. All you have to do is to understand it, to read the scriptures, to sit under a pastor and understand. As friends with a multimillionaire at a point, and he said to me, Ken, if I know the things I know today, if I knew the things that I know today, it's sad. Because at that point he was about 75. Time is a precious commodity. Can you imagine? You see, most of the time we find ourselves jumping. We're in a hurry to get here, to the place of wealth, estate. But when you jump, you know, think of a staircase that misses one step. Are you hearing me? A staircase that misses one step. There are issues with the foundation. You have to go progressively. So here is this man. I don't know how he got here, the unjust steward, but he was there. He was at the place of skill. Think about it. A child who is not taught how to appreciate. He's raised up in with a silver spoon in his mouth. Mother and father love him so much. Don't subject him to any discipline, any training. So he rises up and goes to school. His school fees are paid for. When he finishes school, because he belongs to the upper class, they recommend him, and boom, he lands that job. So he's intelligent, but there is no foundation, no foundation of gratitude, neither a foundation of diligence. No foundation of gratitude, no foundation of diligence. So he's occupying that space, and there is no foundation. So one day, when he's reported to his master, he has to make an account. And he realizes the inevitable. He's about to fall, because his master says, you're about to lose your job. Just render an account. But the Bible says that he came to himself. And the reason Jesus taught this parable is for me and for you. Not because of something that happened. This is a calculated story. It is a story to tell us how our condition may be at a point. And this season is very important. Sunday, as I stood here preaching, God said that his people shall fast. His people shall fast. We are entering into the season of judgment, trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. And I want you to be ready. There's going to be 21 days of fasting. That's going to be on the flyer. From September 18th to October 8th. But I want you to determine to even start your fast ahead of the fast. This is August. If God gives you grace to start an early fast, you can start from August 30th. You see, everybody's condition is different. Are you hearing me? Everyone's condition is what? It's different. So you can start from August 30th. Wednesday, August 30th. But the formal one starts September 18th.
Don't count. Amen. Praise God. So this man, when he realizes, the Bible says, he does some strategic things. He goes to one of the debtors of his boss and says, "How much do you owe? How much do you owe?" And he says, "I owe 100 measures of oil." Say with me, 100 measures of oil. 100 measures of oil. And he tells that debtor, "Sit down quickly. Take your bill. Write 50. That means I give you a 50% discount." There are three things that God blesses us with. Everybody, every human being. What are they? Time, life, resources. He gives everyone oil, wheat, and wine. Amen? Wheat, wine, and oil. In the book of Joel chapter 2, he says, "I will visit you with wheat. I will come with corn. I will come with wine. I will come with oil." We know that oil speaks of the anointing, the gifts of God within us. Jesus said, the two great commandments, the first one is to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. That means if love is 100%, if you assign yourself 50, you have to give your neighbor how much? It was a teaching on the anointing. A teaching on the word, on the anointing. So this steward realized that he had cheated people. He had sold the anointing. He had charged for every penny. In life, you cannot charge for every good thing that God has used you to bless others. You will owe life. You know how that sometimes some people come to you and they are short financially, but they need the service. It's important that you should be able to put yourself in their shoes. They need something that God has endowed you with. Hallelujah. It's not always about the money. Freely have you received, so freely what? Give. For some people, we are just there to bless. So this steward realized that he had cheated on life. He had cheated that customer in that transaction. He had cheated in how he had dispersed the anointing of God upon his life. So he decided to fix where he was guilty. The Bible says, if we shall judge ourselves, we shall be subject to no man's judgment. So Jesus said, the man went and fixed. He fixed his life. He went and he went and gave discounts to people. He said, "I overcharged you for this. It was for services. Services I rendered. Take that discount." We're talking about the oil. We're not talking about physical oil. We're talking about services rendered. Those who he had charged for services rendered. And he made good. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Bible says that he went to another customer who owed 100
measures of wheat. 100 measures of wheat. But to this man, he gave a 20% discount. 20% discount. Why 20%? Because 10% is the tithe he never paid. 10% is the offering he never gave. So 10 plus 10 is equal to what? 20%. So he went and fixed the realm of the spirit. He went and took care of what financial favor he needed for his next level. He needed favor. The Bible says that he took these measures because he needed to have favor for his next level. For his next level. Favor for the next level. This is what he should have been doing all along that he never did. Now the third thing he did, which is not directly written, but it is implied in what he did, was he took cognizance. So here are material resources. Alright. The third thing he did was to take cognizance of the time. Say with me, time. The Bible says that for everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to sow and a time to reap. A time for everything. A time to kill, a time to heal. Now this guy recognized what the time was. It was a time of reckoning. It was a time of reckoning. These times are 28 in all. They are 14 opposites. The negative and the positive. Most often, the negative comes first. A time to sow before a time to reap. But it's a season. From spring, every farmer knows that it's a time to what? To sow. Because if you don't sow in spring, summer, the lot of rain is going to fall definitely. But if you didn't sow in spring, you cannot reap in summer. But the Bible says we sow in tears. We sow in what? In tears. But we reap in joy. So the season will present itself negative. In the case of the unjust steward, the season came as a time of reckoning. Your master calls you and says you're about to lose your job. You're about to lose your place. You're about to lose your apartment. You're about to lose something. Your contract. You're going to lose your space. You're going to lose an opportunity. What do you do? You don't go. No, the Bible says that the Lord of that servant commended him because he recognized the time and God is not interested in the death of the sinner. That's the lesson Jesus was trying to teach there. Bad times, evil times, are not supposed to drown us. Evil times are a challenge. Are a challenge that we must confront. Say with me, evil times are a challenge to be confronted. Hallelujah. It's just a sequence of time. It's just a sequence of time. Bad time, good time, good time, bad time, bad time, good time, good time, bad time. It's a cycle of life. So God does not want you to be perturbed by the fact that you've been given a notice. Don't start crying. Start to apply yourself to wisdom. Because in the seed time, God sends the former rain. There is a wisdom to be applied even in a bad season. In a time when it looks like nothing is happening. Doesn't mean you fold your hands. There is no time in life that you fold your hands. There is no time in life. No job, nothing happening. The advantages have been taken. The benefits have been taken. It's still a time that requires your skill. There are some things that cannot be done in the good time. They must only be done in the evil time. There are some things in life. Put your mind to it. There is a former rain. That means there is a wisdom that is released even for the evil time. Say with me, there is a wisdom that is released even for the evil time. Hallelujah. It's time to leverage skill to show yourself a good manager of time. A good manager of what? 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 You must be a good manager of bad times. You must be a great manager of evil times. That's why this man was commended. The story is a dichotomy. Some people think he was unjust because he was doing all this discounting. No! That's why he was commended. Because he knew what to do in an evil time. God was getting him ready. It's either he was going to, man says you're going to drop. But God says there is a place ahead of you. Even at the point, you see, it's man who makes you aware that it's evil time. But with God, there is no partiality. You can leverage the bad time. Do you know why God has taken that opportunity away from you? Because God wants you to think. You have been lazy in your mind for a long time. You see, this man lived through extortion. Anyone who is not appreciative and doesn't live a life of gratitude is an extortioner. Ooh. And anyone who is not diligent about their lives, they are greedy and lazy. You know what greedy and lazy is about? I worked for 10, but I want 20. Hey. Are you hearing me? I deserve 10, but I'm trying to take what? 20. I'm taking somebody else's portion and adding it to mine. If I wanted 20, then I should have put in the labor for what? For 20. So sometimes when we get to that point, when an opportunity is about to be yanked out of our lives, a man has sent you a letter, a man has given you your notice and all that, God wants you to put your stewardship to work. You might not like this, but I have said it so much in church that God started acting to me the way I asked him. I said, God, don't give me promises again. Tell me what's wrong with me. And every night when I sleep, almost every night, I get where there is something wrong with me. Sometimes I wake up in the midnight and it's like to weep and to cry. But I catch myself quickly. and try to understand, why is God giving me this bad word? I want that bad word. I want it. I want it. Because it keeps me on my toes. It makes me see things from the other end. Hey, listen, I've lived in a fool's paradise where every prophet that comes has given me a good prophecy. Everybody that sees me is telling me I'm going to be great. I'm tired. Where is that greatness? Where is my blessing? Let's pick it up from another angle. Let's fix what's wrong with me. So I asked for that, and that's what I get from God now. But I want you to know that I take it more seriously. You know, right now, if you start prophesying good about me, you know what happens? My mind switches off. I don't like too much talk. I like performance. Don't promise me a gift. Give me a gift. Tell someone, don't promise me a gift. Give me a gift when it is ready. Amen. I don't. Promises are good. I'm not saying there's something wrong with it. I'm not saying there's something wrong with God telling me his promises, because it also shapes how we prepare. But I rather that God will tell me my faults, where I am weak, where I am inefficient, where I am stupid, where I am not smart. I love that. It makes me sad for a moment. But I hate the look of an extortioner. I hate the look of a lazy man. I hate the look of a greedy man. I hate the looks of an incompetent man. I hate the look of a careless human being. I hate the looks. When I see it, it makes me start to what? To pick rays from myself. It makes me start to run from that nature. I love that. Are you hearing me? I love that. I love that because it comes with what we call the fear of God. It calls me to order. It calls me to order in life. And you should be happy if there are people in your life who call you to what? To order and not take offense. Because when you take offense, it means you are so far away. And attitude is all about everything. Attitude. So to be able to receive, I've told God, I want the negative. The negative about Ken, I don't want to live in a fool's paradise. I don't want to be incompetent. I don't want to be inefficient. I don't want to be careless. Hallelujah. You see, if you've seen wealth before, if you've seen prosperity, if you've handled abundance before, you will appreciate my teaching tonight. But if you have not, you'll say, what is he talking about? Hallelujah. So this man is in a position, and he comes to recognize that this evil time, he can spin this thing. He can spin this letter. He can spin it. Oh, the Bible says that an enemy, I think the Assyrians, came against Hezekiah. And he went unto God and he cried. And he cried. This Assyrian had been intimidating Israel over and over and over. And Israel had to continue sending tribute and taxes to an enemy. But this time when he came, he sent a letter. And Hezekiah took the letter and spread it before God. And say, God, look. God, look. And God says, because you have come to me, this enemy, he won't even step into this city. God caused something to happen back at his home. And when he got the news, he turned right back. Are you listening to me? He heard some news. There is no situation that God cannot deal with. More the problem is with our stewardship. This man deals with his incompetence in a moment. He deals with his incompetence. He looks beneath him. Stop crying and say, oh, I won't have a job. Oh, I won't have food. Oh, I won't have a house. Oh, I won't. No! What can God do even with my position? He had one day to clear his desk. One day to clear his desk. He says, in clearing my desk, I will set the stage for wealth. I will set the stage for prudence. He changed the time. He switched the time from an evil time to a good time. Hallelujah. Switch the time. Switch the time. Switch the time. God, I'm not sleeping until you put wisdom in my head. God, I am not sleeping tonight until you tell me what to do. How to switch this time. How do I switch this time? How do I switch this time? How do I switch this time? How do I change the tide? You can. He, God, turns a time of mourning into a time of dancing. He turns a time of weeping into a time of laughter. He turns a time of war into a time of peace. You need to understand that. He turns. 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 He turns it. Sorrow may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. 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 Confront the evil time. Confront the evil time. Make new connections out of the evil time. Have a positive disposition towards the negative time. Don't cry. Seek God. Prudence is the last stage. Why do you need prudence? Because in the realm of skill, your income is more than your expenditure. I dealt with that on Sunday. Your income is more than your expenditure. And when you get here to the place of skill, you will know. You know because there is more income coming into your hands than you need. Unless you never went to the school of begging and digging. If you didn't go to that school, then even if they paid you $2 million a month, it will not be enough. It will never be enough. Because the dynamics is that when you move progressively from gratitude, which is begging, to diligence, which is digging, the steps have been laid, the foundations have been laid. You have learned how to manage money. You have learned how to put yourself through school. You've learned how to put yourself through what? Through school. I tell you this for your benefit. I have textbooks around my life. I study a lot. I am a student. I am a student. Any area where God said I was incompetent, I have the textbook sitting at my bed. And every day I read and I study. Because it's not about here. Right now is a digging phase of an estate that is coming. The promises of God for my life is so huge that any little speck of incompetence means that I am going to shortchange myself. I'm going to what? So change myself, we'll get to heaven. And God said, you would have been in charge of that. You would have been in charge of that. You would have been in charge of that. That's what I ordained for you. But you cannot, because you not changed yourself. So I am interested. The Apostle Paul said it. I'm interested in my faults. I'm interested in where I'm weak. I am interested in what is wrong with me. So I teach you, I'm your teacher, but I'm still a student. And I have ordained that I'm going to be a student for life. Amen. Even if it is the last day that I have to spend on this earth, I have to spend it as the most competent individual for that particular task. The most competent. Are you hearing me? The most what? Competent. Even if my last assignment is to Josiah or to a little kid, Micah, I want to be the most competent body. I want my papa up there to check me that I did all that I had to do for that one person, leaving nothing out. This is a season of reckoning. Some of you are playing when you should be studying. You're not developing skill. The Bible says, steady to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm going to end with this scripture. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone that comes to him must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Of those who what? Diligently what? Seek him. If you dig, you will find some reward. If you build skill in the area of your calling, you must learn. You see, the reason why you need skill is because, you see, the anointing will work with you at the level at which you are. If you don't have skill, then he has to teach you to reinvent the wheel. And think about it. What you could have read in a textbook, for 1 week, now the Holy Ghost has to spend 1 year, 2 years, teaching you that same thing. Because what's in that textbook is how that career, that subject has developed from Adam to where you are. That has been enshrined in formulas and concepts that you can take 1 week to learn it. And then the Holy Ghost will take what you are learning. And you know the strangest thing. No matter the subject that I read, that among the things that I'm learning because of tomorrow, God starts to talk to me from formulas, from principles, from he, and sometimes I'm like, my God, because he's the one who taught all those people from Adam till today. He taught them. He taught the skills of carpentry from one generation to another. From one generation to another. And then in the age of enlightenment, they started to write it down into what? Into books. So why would you shortchange yourself? Otherwise, a journey of 40 days becomes a journey of what? 40 years. So you'll be lacking behind. When your skill becomes relevant, you start to earn. People pay you according to your what? Your skill. And so when your skill begins to give you more than you need, then you are here. And so you are in this dimension of riches, and then you start to what? To save. You start to save, because after that you start to buy what? Property. You start to build factories. You start to build manufacturing plants. You start to put down things for the next generation. For the next generation. Otherwise, you're going to be stuck digging. I told you on Sunday, there is how much you can save. If you are, your income is very close to the minimum wage, there is how much you can save. You can't save while digging. You invest into career development. Let me ask you a question. Where God has promised to take you, do you have the skills? Do you have the, for the promises of God? God has given you a promise and you are excited, and then you're crazy. God is gonna bless me, but there is a lot of disappointment in your life day after day, year after year. Nothing is happening. The question is, have you acquired the skills by which the anointing can work with you? If God made you the CEO of Microsoft, do you have the skills to run it? If God gave you the skills to become the chief executive of Montefiore Hospital, do you have the skills to manage it? If God made you the CEO of Century 21, do you have the skills? The entire corporation, multi-million global enterprise, do you have the skills? Would you understand the numbers? Would you understand? I challenge us in this church. 5 years to come, we will still be scratching our head over prosperity and wishing it. You don't wish it. You work it. You dig it out. You dig it out. You dig it out. You dig it out. You get diligent about it. You know, my family is here, so they know that I'm not lying. That I surround myself with books. Things that God reflect where God is taking me. And I study. Sometimes when I'm going out, I carry books with me. Because I envisage that I'll have some waiting time. Some time when I will not be doing anything. So whilst others are looking in the air, I have a textbook and I'm what? I'm reading. It's about efficiency. It's about competence. It's about how do you maximize one and turn one into 100? How would you turn 100 into 1,000? How? There are things that God has released over the ages. You got to be the best at what God has called you. But you cannot just be the best. The anointing can make you the best, but it will take you 85 years. By the time you become the best, they are about to take you to Mount Moriah to bury you. Are you listening to me? Shatta brashto lesia. Tell yourself, every day at least you will spend 1 hour. You have to be the best. You've gone to school, but you know that we go to school just to pass the test. Most of the things I'm learning today, I did them already in school, but I am relearning them because I learned them for the test. But now I'm learning them for me. I am learning them for my calling. I am learning them for destiny. Are you listening to me? I am learning them because God has called me to be the head. and I have to stand on something. I have to stand on the bloodline of all those who came before me. I pray, but I steady. I pray a lot. Whilst I'm praying, I am steadying. I am getting myself ready. Oh, hallelujah. God forbid, if they give you Microsoft on a silver platter, they give you a factory on a silver platter, and then you keep bothering Pastor Ken. Hey, Pastor, hey, they just sent me a letter. They just sent me a letter. They sent me a letter over taxes. They sent me a letter over this. They sent me a letter over that. What can I do? There are things that prayer does. Prayer will not fix your incompetence. You will grind until you learn how to fix your own incompetence. Are you listening to me? There are things that we shall say. Oh, no. Now, take me very seriously. We're gonna enter into a time of prayer. There are some things that we don't even have to pray. I will make proclamations. You will go, you will get it. You will get that house. You will get that building. You will get that estate. You will get that contract. But when you get it, how do you manage it? Will you come back to say, Pastor, the property you made me get the other day, they're about to take it from me. I tell you to go and fix your word. Incompetence. Because there are things that prayer cannot do. Competence does not come into you by osmosis. Yes, sir. Are you hearing me? Competence does not come to you by what? Osmosis. Osmosis is liquids moving from lower areas of concentration or from higher area of concentration to lower areas. It's not going to breeze into your mind. No. You have to read book. Are you listening to me? You have to study to show yourself approved. God says he will reward your diligence. He will reward your what? Your diligence. Someone who knows how to do the job. There is a friend of mine who owns a bank. He owns a bank in another country, not here. And the government just took over the bank. So another friend called me. He said, "Why did the government take the bank of your friend?" I said, "He messed up with the liquidity ratio." And he said, "Explain it to me." I said, "There are certain standards for each bank in the percentage of income that must be in, the percentage of deposits that must be retained. Not all can be loaned out. If you mess up with that percentage, then you're going to put depositors at risk." How do I know all of this? How do I understand it? Because tomorrow I'm going to own a bank. Amen. So even though I don't own the bank physically, I must understand why my friend lost his bank. He is ahead of me. But if I'm going to own a bank, then I should understand how banks operate. So when someone asked me, "Why did your friend lose the bank?" I said, "Yes. He was incompetent in this area." And I said it even before reading the news, even before getting into details, because I know what makes you lose a bank. It didn't come to my mind by osmosis. It came to me because I study to show myself what? Approved. So it's one thing for God to say, "I'm going to make you the head and not the tail." And you cannot manage bad times. There's promotion all around you. Have you heard that every time there's a test, it's because there is a word? There's a testimony. Every time there's a test, it's because you are at the threshold of a miracle. Every time. The guy fixed his incompetence and got himself a raise. Got himself to the next level. Got himself to the realm of wealth. Now let me tell you this. Don't jump from begging to prudence to try to buy a house. You just started work and the next thing you're thinking of is buying a house. No, no, no. Don't listen to that realtor who's trying to sell you a house. It's not the first person you start to talk to. You first have to build. You have to build your income. Take that money and go to school. Because you will be going from foreclosure to Edmund, what's the other name again? From to short sale, foreclosure to short sale when your income is low. Because you are mismanaging your digging phase. Are you hearing me? That money is not to buy a house. You are buying yourself a what? A nightmare. Increase your income level. You're earning 6,000, 7,000, 10,000 a month. Now you're ready to own what? Property. Because that's the progression. So that when you own property, you are liquid. You can pay the mortgage 3 months in ahead and cut the interest rate down. I mean, oh Jesus Christ, you know what I'm talking about. Ed Murray knows what I'm talking about. If you owe money on a mortgage and you start paying it acceleratedly, you are shorting the bank. You are cheating the bank. The bank don't like that. They might put some penalties on you, but there is a limit to which they can go. Then when you have established equity in your first house, equity, then you buy your second house. But the realtor, she wants you to make a commission off of you. Everybody, I'm your enemy this evening. And so she'll tell you, you bought your first house, your credit is still good. There's another house down the block. You buy it as an investment property. All she's thinking about is her what? Her commission. Are you listening to me? So I'm trying to tell you, there is a way to do things. But if you don't have knowledge, and next week's own is going to be beautiful. Hallelujah. Give God praise. There is a way. There is a way. Sometimes, if you are caught in a bubble, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take drastic actions to salvage yourself. Don't be what? Afraid. To take what? Drastic what? Actions. Some drastic actions will give you sleepless nights. Some drastic actions will make you lose your... People will start to look down on you for taking drastic actions. But give yourself 5 years. Give yourself 5 years and you will be the comeback kid. Give yourself 5 years and you will become the star again. Give yourself 5 years. Give yourself 5 years. And 5 years comes like a flash. Those who laughed at you will start to praise you. They start to come to learn the secret how you redeemed yourself. Everyone loves the comeback kid. Rise up on your feet. Yes, you have something to say.
I was listening to the message today and what you just said, 5 years. When I came, so 5 years. Amen. You just said that same now in 5 years.
5 years. 5 years. Amen. There's been a lot of testimonies, even as I was preaching last Sunday, people told me a lot of testimonies, live testimonies, as I was preaching this series and things that were happening right within the service. And I know your miracle is here. But most important, it's a season to fast. It's a season to what? To fast. Hallelujah. And this fast, you're going to take a knife and give it to God and say, God, cut me. Did you hear me? You're going to tell God, take the knife and what? Cut me where it hurts. Cut me where I can bleed. In the name of Jesus, rise up on your feet. Begin to thank God. Thank God for his word. It is time for you. Oh, Let me add this, otherwise I won't sleep tonight. Keep standing. Thank you. Open to me your Bibles, John chapter 3. I'm going to end with this. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Another day I'll go into details of it, but for the purpose of what you must get, John chapter 3, verse 27. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." Say with me, a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. Say it a third time. A man cannot receive anything except it be given from heaven. It has to be what? It has to be given from heaven. Don't kill yourself about what has not been given. Don't worry yourself about what has not been given. Be concerned about what has been given. My sister, there are things that God has already given to you. My sister, there are things that God has already what? Given. There are things that God has already what? Given. There are things that God has already given. Sonia, receive this blessing. Stand on your feet. There are things that God has already what? Given. He has already, say with me, already given me. The question is, have you received it? Have you put diligence to it? Have you put the best diligence to what has already been what? Been given. If I say you should all write prayer requests right now on what God shall give you, you will write fantastic things. But the question is, what is it that you have been given that you are actually about to lose? Are you listening to me? What is it that you have already been given that you are mismanaging? That you are not applying good stewardship to? Am I the architect of my own suffering? I ask myself that question. Am I the architect of my own struggles? Am I the architect? Are you hearing me? That is more important than what God is about to give you. In addition to that, as Pastor Faith, I always tell her that it is not about what God is going to give, but it is about what God has already given. Are you listening to me? Aunt Marie, you're crying for more. But ask yourself, have you applied good stewardship to what he has already given? There is nobody with zero. Nobody with what? Zero. If you burden yourself, if you burden yourself to apply good stewardship to what has already been given, that God says, he that is faithful in that which is least, minimal, small, almost zero, he will be faithful in much. And if you have been faithful in that which is another man's, then you will have your own. You will be given. You don't have to pray. You don't have to fast for it. It will come to you. It will come to you. There is a neighbor looking at you. How you are running that small business. How diligent you are. And it's about to dump capital into you. Without you begging. Without you seeking. Unconditionally. Just manage it. Just manage it. Just manage it. Just manage. Manage 10 clients. Because you were faithful with one client. Good stewardship. Only a thief asks for more. When he has wasted what was given yesterday. Only a thief. Oh, I didn't get rough on you guys. I didn't get rough with this message. But only a thief is looking for more. When they have failed to appreciate what has already been what? Been given. And I want to challenge somebody. I want to challenge you, Carol. God says if you will put diligence to what he has given you, he says you will never have to pray for more again for the rest of your life. It will come. It will be abundance. Your testimony will be abundance and abundance and abundance. We keep asking God the wrong question. God, fix it. God, manage it. God, steward it. No, God gives. And we steward. Are you hearing me? In God's good stewardship, rain falls when it must fall. In God's good stewardship, has winter failed to show up any year? Has summer failed to show up? Has spring failed to show up? Has fall failed to show up?
Yes, sir.
It comes like clockwork. Lift your hands into heaven. Lord, give me contentment. Lord, give me gratitude. Give me diligence. Lord, give me, mighty God, to seek skill and to seek prudence. If we are faithful in the least, God will bless us with much. If we are faithful, Ratula Shendele Borikalasia, Ratula Shendelebeya, Yetaya Taya, we are putting the blame on God, but we are not putting any blame on ourselves. We are putting the blame on God, and yet we are the ones who have failed in stewardship. Ratule sheka baria lasia. Yeta, yeta, yeta. Yeta, yeta. The Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Redeem the time. Redeem the evil time. Buy back the time. Rustala shikena brashtia. Ratule shetandekaya. Randele shendale bayaka. Rambele boshikanderialaya. Ratala shendale baya. Ratelo kosinebeshia. Ratala sindereboshia. Rale kandekaya laputo yesa la Cristo nikala shia rantele shia bo ratele sheke bande randolo shike bata ratele sendele beshia in the name of Jesus ratele shike melebeya ratele shika bolosia ratele shia bebesala randelekeya yela ho nate yata Ratolo shie baba, reka leka leka leya, randele siya, latisho nakia, ratole sebo nakia, randolo siya, yelebo siya, in Jesus name, la bo, ratetetetetetete, rabebebebebe, natune shinada. Thank you Lord, start to clap your hands. Rebo shandele bele bele bele. Ratolo shia de breste, ratele sika yeta, ni baba ya daya, raboshende baya, ratela boshia, rada ya dayada, ye koko sike, ratele boshia, yela boshinde le breste kaya, la bonsa leka nekruste, la shenda boshia, yale kabaya, ale, ale, matushia. In Jesus' name, worship him. Worship him for prudence, for skill. Worship him for diligence. Worship him. Worship him for gratitude. Hallelujah.